Welcome, everybody, to The Peaceful Planet. This is your show host, Marcia McMahon, broadcasting live to you today from the studios of BBS Radio. You were listening to our theme song, The Peaceful Planet. Our music is synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray, inspired by John Lennon and George Harrison, Frank Duvall, and Michael in the band. Visit www.thestarsstillshine.com to hear more from the Half Beats, as they now call themselves, and others creating musical talent from the other side, and this music is synthesized. We have a wonderful program, so stay tuned with us today. We have a wonderful guest, Carrie Hettleman, and she is going to be discussing her book, Timely Acceptance, which has just been released, and she's very excited about that. I am also making a few announcements at the start of the show, as I normally do, and I will read one message from Spirit, as I like to do at the start of the show. We have Valentine's Day coming up, of course, and love is in our hearts and on our minds at this time of year. And I have a special for Valentine's Day through February 15th, 07. You can receive a free book, my book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, with your $100 reading. So if you sign up for a one-hour reading, you will get a signed copy of my book, which is fully illustrated and full of messages from Princess Diana on solutions for the Middle East, and as well her thoughts on her life and comments on other issues of importance. So that is a special that I'm offering, and I wanted to make that available to you. You may visit the website at www.DianaSpeaksToTheWorld, and then go to the index. Or if you are already listening to BBS Radio and you click on About This Program, you will bring up the show page for The Peaceful Planet, and you will see on the very bottom of the show page Readings with the Angels, Ascended Masters on Air with Marcia, and then Private Readings with Marcia. So you can just click on that link to bring up the private readings. Carrie is standing by with me today. How are you, Carrie?
Oh, I'm great, Marcia.
Good. Well, good to hear your voice.
Happy to be here.
I know we're going to have a fun time today.
Yes, we are.
And Carrie is standing by with me to work on anybody's request for an angel reading. So if you are wanting a mini reading with the angels, with myself, or with Carrie, you may call in 877-876-5227, or you may call for Canada toll-free at 888-810-8322. And we are tuning to the angels, and if there is something that you would like to know about, please be specific with your question. And feel free to call it in, and either I or Carrie will answer. All right. So before I get to Carrie and her bio, I have one message from John Lennon. And he is speaking about a new CD that's been created with Bob Murray. It is called Dead on the Ed Sullivan Show, and apparently they revived the Ed Sullivan Show on the other side. And John and George are creating great new music, and there's a CD or some tunes that have been released. I'm not sure which, but we do encourage you to visit the website of Bob Murray at thestarsstillshine.com. That's two S's in there. And that is listed on the show page as well if you don't remember links too well. Now, this was just channeled in this morning, and for those of you that haven't heard me before, I work with Spirit, and I work with the Ascended Masters, and primarily my work involves words of peace from Princess Diana and words of peace from John Lennon. So John usually has a message at the start of our show, and I think it's really great to hear from one of the all-time greatest musicians and lyric poets. So it's a great honor to feature his music and his messages on our show, The Peaceful Planet. So I'm saying here, hello, John. I'm curious about Ladybug Claudine and our new connection together with you. John, yeah, I'm very excited about your meeting up with another great light worker like yourself, Claudine. Marcia, can you clarify what you meant, John, in her reference to Blackbird being played on a recorder? John, Marcia, my dear, you will have to seek out that song and see what it does for you when you hear it. I know I'm being a bit cryptic, but you will get the meaning of it all when you do. A bit of homework there for you from this old beetle. By the way, we're all quite pleased about Bob's new CD, Dead on the Ed Sullivan Show. Ed is producing us once again in heaven, and everybody here is quite excited about our new style of songwriting and performances with the show. We can't wait to share this with your listening audience, all in the name of peace and love, of course, and not because of my fame or my name. That is all behind me now, although those of Earth will recognize my style as well as George's style that has greatly evolved. We are both glad to be working together on the same goals for the peaceful planet. We have all the lyrics, and while you're off next week, we hope to channel some of these new lyrics through into the Earth plane through you. As well, we are quite excited about Claudine's talent being aired on your show and see a possible collaboration of sorts with my music, yours and Bob Murray's, permission given, of course. Right now, I know you have a lot going on, and we'll leave you to ponder the delights of spirit and the many wonders you do for your audience as well. With love from John, the half-beats John and George, P.S., remember peace, remember love. So, what a wonderful way to open our show. And again, we do encourage you that you visit my website, Diana Speaks to the World, and John's hear more about Bob Murray's website at The Stars Still Shine. So now I would like to bring in Carrie and give you her bio, and then we will discuss some of the things that she has covered in her new book, Timely Acceptance, The God Within. Carrie Hettleman hosted a TV talk show in Palm Springs, is a psychic medium, trance healer, lecturer, and higher self workshop facilitator, spiritual counselor, ordained minister, and author of Timely Acceptance, The God Within. Her work is available at www.timelyacceptance.com. Her angel messages are published in the Sedona Journal of Emergence, the Light Circle e-zine, and Just Channelings and Angels Among Us. She is a truth seeker who advocates listening to your still small voice within and believes to know thyself is to know God. Quote from Carrie, anyone can believe, but one must experience in order to know. So, what a wonderful bio. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Oh, Marcia, thank you for having me.
Well, so it's a delight to have you and your new book on our show. I'm really excited to bring out some of the key points that you have in the book, and I know that this will be a great interview.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was a book 10 years in coming, so I was very happy to finally get it down on paper.
10 years in creating this book, really. I suppose this is all based a lot on your personal experience and developing into being psychic. And before we get into some of the other topics that you highlighted for me, I thought because your book seems to have sort of a feeling to me that it is sort of a primer for people who are just starting out on their journey of the spiritual path and trying to understand how all this works with spirit, how you tune in to your psychic abilities and, contradictions that people may have about being psychic and being Christian, for instance, or being spiritual and being psychic. And so often it is mistakenly taught in our society that one is mutually exclusive of the other, that you cannot be psychic and be spiritual, or that you cannot be Christian and be spiritual, or whatever your faith background may happen to be. It's looked down upon. And I think that you brought that out really well in your book, and you also talked about Jesus being psychic, Moses being psychic, Noah being psychic. So I wonder if we could talk about those, greats from the Bible and lend a little more insight into being psychic. We could start with that.
Well, sure. When I was little, I would talk to God at night, not having any religious background, per se, other than God was good, God was great. And we were taught the little prayer of, now I lay me down to sleep, which I'm sure you've all heard of before. And at the end of my prayer, I would start blessing and giving thanks, and then this voice would talk to me. And I just assumed it was God, because it was to God that I was speaking. And I, in reference in the book, I recalled the movies that I saw in elementary school that were produced by Disney, where Jiminy Cricket would sit on the narrator's shoulder and whisper into his ear, and he was acting as one's conscience. And so when I saw that, you know, it was clear to me that that must be Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder talking to me.
Of course, who else would it be? Well, actually, I wasn't asking for a full history here on how you developed your psychic ability, but I think it's a wonderful illustration to delve into childhood, because children innately do feel a connection to God and their angels and will often come up with the most unbelievable things. And sometimes their psychic abilities are dead on. And, you know, so share more about that.
Well, I think it's a very natural thing for all of us to hear that still small voice within, which now I relate to as being God, our guardian angels, our Holy Spirit, our spirit guides, whatever you want to name
well,
it.
Well, actually, I think of it as, it is the voice of God. And if you reference the Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 121, there is a psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Oh, I know.
And I made the connection with the still small voice and "be still and know that I am God" through meditation many years ago. And I learned to listen to my own inner still small voice, which is sometimes called the still small voice of conscience, but sometimes it's called the voice of God. What that really, I think, translates to would be anything that you would, you know, understand God to be, but we're all part of that divine spark. So it is a trustworthy inner voice, and more people should learn to listen to that.
I agree, and that is my message in the book of The God Within. It's timely that we accept the God within. In reference to Noah and to Moses and to Jesus, it was very clear to me that they too were psychic. The term, Greek word, from psychikos, which means of the soul and spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And how did Noah receive the message to build the ark and that the flood was coming? You know, they were psychic. They were in connection with their God source and listening, meditating, and receiving. And it was a very natural thing for them to do. And I think that we tend, as a society, then and now, to put them on a pedestal because they have these gifts of being able to foresee the future or to go within and receive the guidance to do the things that they did.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And Jesus himself said, "Greater things shall you do." You know, so he was saying, follow me in the way that I am developed. Follow me in the way that I am, you know. So he was quite developed psychically, and it wasn't just because he was Jesus. It was because he had intended to develop that way.
And I do believe that in his message to us, that he was not putting himself on a pedestal and saying, look what I can do. You know, he was saying, you know, I and my Father are one. You're all gods of the Most High. And like you said, and man shall come to do much greater things than I. And I think a lot of us missed that in his message. I see this illusionist, I believe his name is Chris Angel, and I had received online a video where he was walking on water. And it was absolutely amazing to me when I watched it, and I thought, boy, Jesus was certainly right. Man shall come to do much greater things than he, even though
what is his name, Chris what?
Chris Angel. He's an illusionist. Like David.
Interesting Green. Last name. I wonder if that's a pseudonym.
I don't know if that's his real name or not, but he certainly has developed that part of his higher self and connection with God to where he actually was able to walk on water. And in showing and sharing this video with others, even seeing it with their own eyes, very few people could believe that it was a reality, that he was really walking on water. And I said, if he were pretending to walk on water and it was an illusion, how would one do that? I mean, as he was walking.
So what does he claim? Does he claim to be an illusionist or a miracle worker, which is the case?
I don't know anything about this gentleman other than the video that I saw, and I do believe he claims to be an illusionist like David Blaine. But I think it's wonderful that these illusionists are demonstrating the gifts that they have in creating these so-called miracles, what appear to be miracles, because it takes us to an understanding of, gee, maybe this is possible. If this man can walk on water, maybe I can walk on water too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're allowing children of God to actually visualize growing up and becoming one with God.
So, you know, you had a wonderful message that was sent out in your email this week called Accepting Our New Vision in Our New Reality. Do you happen to have that copied in with you?
No, Marcia, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
But if you want to refresh my memory, I'm sure it'll come
back. I have
to
it here in its totality, but I'm going to choose a part of it because I think it speaks to this very event of what we might call ascension or being able to access higher skills than what we presently demonstrate in our third dimensional consciousness.
Great.
And let me see what I want to find in here. Well, I'll start with the first one, first paragraph. In my oneness with Jesus and my Father in heaven, I am thrilled with the concept of having ascended and now living in our oneness with you, Father. Heaven on earth is what I've always wished for. You tell me not to worry of what is to come, so I do not worry. I walk in faith, knowing you are always nearby, ready and willing to assist for the asking. You tell me to hold to the vision that I desire, and so I hold the vision of a world of peace, love, respect for one another, and all living in the consciousness and awareness of their oneness. I see plenty with no human being starving or being cold at night. I see people coming together, sharing and forming their communities where they are for one another. I see the possibility of healing any disease, living in a state of joy and health. The part I love, children will be safe and be able to explore their world and ride their bikes to the local 7-Eleven to buy a Slurpee. They will love their new schools and they will love to learn. They too will respect their classmates and will embrace the little ones with love and compassion, helping them along the way. Accidents, illness, and war will be a faint recollection of the world we once lived in, and we will rejoice in the new world and fear no more. So I think that what you're saying there is that we will acquire many spiritual gifts in this new world just dawning upon us, and that whatever these gifts may end up being, we are all being asked right now to tap into our presence of God within meditation, within prayer, and to know God personally instead of knowing God maybe more through formal religion, which has distorted Jesus's message and has distorted most of the prophets who came before him and their messages as well, so that we now have a world that's in total conflict over religious ideology and religious indoctrination, which isn't necessarily living in oneness. So, you know, part of my goal here on the Peaceful Planet is to bring out oneness and joy and uplift people to the new vibrations that are coming in to Earth and help people to see a different perspective other than that is being promulgated by the various religions, which in my opinion, humble opinion, they are all in error. So, anyway, that being said, I think that you have some very wonderful and uplifting work, and I liked what you talked about with being psychic, and you started then to explore in your book some other things. There are so many topics, and the book is very easy to read. Again, let's give out the title for our listening audience. It's called Timely Acceptance, The God Within by Carrie Hettleman, and you can pick it up online right at timelyacceptance.com. Is that your website, Carrie?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. And it's beautifully illustrated, too. I like the painting on the front, and I wanted to ask you about that.
Wonderful story. I just had lunch with the artist last week, as a matter of fact. She's a wonderful lady, Dolores.
It's an oil painting, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And where is that?
Well, actually, you know, one would think it's Sedona,
yeah,
the spiritual hub of the West, they say. But Dolores tells us that it's four different places, and it's from her imagination and her mind. So it's not an actual place.
I see. So I thought it, for sure it was Sedona, and I was thinking, haha, that's great. I can't wait to get there and see it. Red Rock Canyon.
Oh,
you know?
You will see many rocks just like it, Marcia. And when you come, we will go to Sedona.
That will be fun. So her name, the artist's name is?
Dolores, and actually her last name is escaping me right now.
Okay, Dolores. But it's credited on your book. So, well, that is really wonderful that you put all this together, and it does remind me of my spiritual journey. I can certainly relate to some of the unbelievable coincidences you had. I wanted to ask you about, you had a chapter on reincarnation and this unbelievable coincidence you had with this famous star that was elderly, yes, and before that you remembered a lifetime in the 30s, and then you met up with him. I think it was Drew Barrymore, actually.
John Drew Barrymore, yes.
Uh-huh. Tell us that story. I think that's really worth retelling.
Oh, golly. Okay, let's see if I can recall. I was a member of the Southern California Motion Picture Council, where they would honor stars and performers for their work. And John Drew Barrymore happened to be there this one day. And I met him, and he was, you know, an elderly gentleman and very pleasant. And he, for some reason, out of the blue, I, being a total stranger, seemed to be interested in me and actually invited me to his birthday anniversary party at the Taj Mahal in Hollywood that night. So
talk about a coincidence, Carrie. Wow.
At this point, I had no idea
your
what a coincidence
must have been with you on that one.
So when I arrived, I took my sister Annie, and we were so happy to be there, never having been to the Taj Mahal before, and going to John Drew Barrymore's, you know, party. And we were seated next to this lady, Cecile Simpson was her name, and her friends, and we began chatting. Well, throughout our conversation, she would say, "Oh, Carrie, you remind me of an old girlfriend of mine, and, oh, even your mannerisms are the same, and, oh, she used to use the same, you know, phrases that you use." And I said, "Oh, isn't that nice? You know, I remind her of an old friend." And then she said, "I used to be a dancer in the Ziegfeld Follies." Well, I couldn't believe my ears because I had recently been taught a little process on how to tap that part of ourselves, that part of our past. And in my
first experience... Could you speak up just a bit, Carrie?
Pardon me?
Could you speak up or turn your phone up just a bit?
Oh,
I'm
sure.
A little trouble hearing.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, yeah, thanks.
And so I had gone through this little experience where I remembered a past life where I was a dancer in the Ziegfeld Follies. And apparently I had died in a car crash and I had lost a son. I remembered being married to a musician and you know, various little things.
So did you go into a trance to find this out, regression, or did you just do this on your own through your own personal past life exploration? I'm just curious.
Everything I have come to know has come directly from within through meditation.
Okay, so this was something that you documented in meditation. It came to you, these images, visualizations, whatever you want to call
yes.
them, came through, and you had just had this information, didn't you? You just realized that
I had just realized
information
and
from
shared
a past
it with
life?
My sister Annie, who was the one who gave me the little technique of how to do this and tap this part of our memory. And so when she said that she was a dancer in the Ziegfeld Follies, you know, I knew then, and I asked her, "Do you believe in reincarnation?" And she laughed and said, "Of course, like, doesn't everybody, you know?"
Everybody in Hollywood probably does.
Probably.
they tend to be more like us out there, you know.
Yeah. And so I told her, you know, my experience and what I had recently unfolded in my truth, and she started to cry. She threw her arms around me and gave me the biggest hug through her tears, saying, "I knew it was you. I just knew it was you." And then at that
who
moment...
Who was the person that you remembered the past? I mean, you were given a name, weren't you?
Oh, she said that my name was Chantilly. That was my stage name.
Okay.
And I've not done any research to verify that because mm-hmm. in my belief, it's not really important to verify it so much as it is to understand that it is just another aspect of our essence of who we are being the sum total of all of our experiences. And so it was just glorious. And she went on to share with me and to confirm the information that I had personally received.
So this was a personal friend of hers that had passed a spirit many years ago.
In 1935.
And this was a reuniting almost of the same person, soul, same soul, different person.
And she recognized the similarities.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And then John Drew Barrymore would come to the table, and he would look at me with this odd look on his face, and he'd say, may I get you a drink, or you know, anything I can do for you? And I'd say, no, we're fine. We're having a great time. Thank you so much for inviting us. And he'd stand there and scratch his head looking at me with this I don't understand look. And Cecile just started laughing. And she said, when he laughed, she said, Carrie, she said, you knew him then in that life, and he remembers you, but he has no clue that it is, you know, his old friend Chantilly from the 30s. And so it was such a confirmation for me at that moment. Reincarnation was no longer a belief. I knew that
it had been proved to you personally.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that. I've had a few experiences in my life, but nothing quite so dramatic as that. Now, tell us about what happened with your son.
Oh.
I think this is really worth sharing, too, about reincarnation. This is all in the book.
Oh. Well, when he was 2 years old, he woke up in the middle of the night crying, and I asked him if he had a nightmare, and he said, yes. And I said, do you remember? Would you like to tell me about it? And he said, remember when I was a big man named Jim? And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing, because my father was named Jim, and he was a big man. And
uh-huh.
I've seen some similarities already, but just thinking that it was passed down in his genes. And then he said, it was as if he was remembering and recalling his death, his passing from that lifetime. And he said,
he was only 2 at this time.
He was 2 years old. And he said, remember when I was a big man named Jim and I was dying of cancer?
Oh, that must have been just, it must have floored you.
It floored
me.
And then he said, and then I died and I'm not Jim anymore. Now I'm Grant, but I'm okay. And this look on
boy,
his
talk
face.
About out of the mouths of babies.
I know.
That is
as he
wild.
Was processing and looking at his hands and his little body, and I thought, oh my good God, he is the incarnate of my father. And then the stories began to come, and he would share stories from when he was a big man named Jim, and I was his little girl. And they were just amazing. And they were not stories that he had ever heard before, because my father passed in 91 from bone cancer. And I think one of the most interesting stories was when Bush was reelected. No, the first time he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant turned on the television. I think he was 5 years old, 4 or 5, and he said, oh, my gosh, Bush won. Oh, my gosh. He said, when I was, I voted for his father, and he was a good man. Gee, I wonder if I were Jim today, if I would have voted for George W. too. And my response, you know, I was shocked again, but still getting used to all these stories. And I said, well, you know, Grant, you were a staunch Republican. And he said, I voted for Kennedy. He was a Democrat.
Oh,
and
God.
Then he proceeded
absolutely
to tell us
church.
Every president he ever voted for and why and how he felt they did in office. And he remembered playing golf with Jerry Ford. It was just hilarious. But having a child like Grant is really hard, even if you have never opened up to the idea of reincarnation.
Sounds like he's a true indigo in every way.
Well, actually, I think he's a crystal. And
oh, a crystal.
A
yeah.
little different vibration there.
Mm-hmm.
I know my first two children are indigos.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Grant's a little different energy. I think it falls under the category.
Oh, what a special child.
Oh, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I keep you on your toes all the time.
He
remembered all these various events, and there was just no question in your mind. Now, let's move on to a subject of great interest, and I do have a message if there's time to share it, but I want to really touch on what you're sharing in your book. It is perhaps about the future of our world and what you have been given by your guides and what I've been given by mine. And, some people think that this is kind of the end times. Some think that it's a time of ascension. There are many doomsday prophets out there with information about, you know, everything from cataclysms and the earth convulsing upon itself to, a planet that is filled with peace and love and oneness and harmony. And, you know, I get various messages from the guides and angels, and I have one that I may share, but I'd like you to give your opinion on what you think's going on here on planet Earth and what's with all these weather changes and deep freeze and all these drastic, kinds of things that we've seen in the past few years. Like Katrina, and what do you think? What do you think is going on?
Well, Marcia, I wish I could lay out what will come, but as we all know, it will unfold as it will, and I don't know how it's going to play out. But I do know that many years ago in meditation, I received a message where I was told that the day may come where planet Earth may no longer be inhabitable. And at that time, I was asked if I would like to be relocated to another planet that's similar to Earth, yet different in that there's no illness, no war, and they don't use money as a means of exchange. Or I was told I could stay and pioneer on planet Earth and bringing in the new Earth. Well, not being a camper, I chose that if this were to occur, that I would like to ascend to another level, to another planet. Ascension, in my definition, is merely a word that we use that means to rise. As a first grader goes to the second grade, they are ascending to the next level of experience. And in these difficult times that we are going through, I think we are, in fact, in the biblical quote end times.
I agree with you.
And I do believe that science has clearly stated that our planet is going through a major shift. And then when you concur with science and Greg Braden, for example, and with the Hopi Indian prophecies and the Mayan calendar and the all of our historical teachings, even revelations in the Bible, that they all have a common thread. And what they're saying is that 2012 is the end of a long cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. So if planet Earth does come to a halt in her rotation on her axis, which NASA has confirmed that this is most likely.
And they've confirmed that
the
will actually be a pause on the axis for a period.
Yeah, we're slowing
space.
Down and losing our magnetics are dropping.
Yes,
and
I've heard that the magnetic resonance is dropping, and there's a special scientific word for that. Do you remember what that is called?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, because I've heard it mentioned in other writings, but I wasn't of the awareness that NASA had actually put this out on a website.
Yes, but they will not regulate what will happen to life on the planet of the 6.6 billion people who are here today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enough of that. We don't know what will happen, but I do know, and my guides assure me daily, that we are not to fear the changes. These changes have happened before, and it was believed to be in the time and day of Noah and the Great Flood. And how it will unfold, no one knows. Only God knows.
Well, you know, I've had information, too, from Archangel Michael. And in one of the messages, there was a line that said something to the effect that those ascending would be relocated to another planet. And I looked at that and I went, oh, my God, did I just channel that in?
That's a little like, bizarre, you know, doesn't it?
I'm not one to really
too.
think about this stuff. You know, I'm not, I don't proclaim myself as a prophet of doom, and I'm a positive thinker.
Exactly.
But I do believe the biblical prophecy about the time of, that Jesus spoke of in the Gospels about the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. I know that that is upon us, and what that is a soul distinction where certain souls are being separated out from other certain souls, and those of us of like mind who are working with God and are serving others and serving the light and trying to have a positive influence on the planet will be sorted out from those that are involved in, you know, negativity, that are involved in means of control,
or
fear,
the lower vibration,
warfare, negativity, murder, anything that you think of as extreme negativity. I'm not saying people that have done bad things would be necessarily singled out, but these other people are going to a different place. So this the separation in consciousness that's coming about. And we on the peaceful planet, of course, are trying to work towards the light and the unity consciousness that that will be the characteristic of the new earth. But I was told by my guides that somehow I'm supposed to stay around and work with this situation as it unfolds with the earth changes.
Well,
so I don't know. You know, I don't make any predictions of doom either, but I do have some messages that are really making me think.
Well,
but, you know, you
hope.
Really can't know until these things come upon us, you know?
Yes. Well, that's why I think it's timely that we accept the God within, because if we're receiving our information of what's to come or about God and the world from others, then it's just a belief. But when we go within and seek, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, you will develop a connection with your God. Our God, all of us are one and of the same source. And this still small voice within will guide us in these times. And we have absolutely nothing to fear. There is an ascension of the planet that I believe that is occurring, where she is increased in her vibration and is ascending to another level, another dimensional frequency, and will be cleansing herself. And as we as humans are also ascending, rising to the next level of existence. The Bible, I believe, is a very good book, not to be taken literally, but to speaking metaphorically, because it's speaking to many different people at many different levels of understanding. And in this time, we can receive guidance when we read this book of what to do to prepare, and we're also told not to fear. So as a collective consciousness that we as a human race, I believe, have reached this higher vibration, there will be those of us who will be ascending to the fifth, sixth dimensional frequencies. Now, the number is not important. It's just we're rising to another level of existence. This Bible was written for this period of time, and yes, it is coming to its end, the last
Jerry,
chapter.
If I may read the message that I have from the Earth Guardians.
Please do.
This really touches on the very same thing that you're saying.
Wonderful.
You're saying your main thesis of your book is to accept the God within and learn to go within and hear the still small voice and work with that inner voice of knowing that we call the conscience, the voice of God, the voice of the I Am Presence. There's many words for it. And I wondered if we could share this brief message that I have from this group calling themselves the Earth Guardians or the Elohim. and read this to our audience, because it's exactly what you're saying, and it's the very same page. So would that be all right?
That would be fine. I would like to add one more thing before you read the message.
Sure, please do.
If I may, in accepting our oneness and raising our consciousness to the next level, we can and have all the gifts that Jesus had to cleanse the water and to make it pure for mankind to drink from, to part the Red Sea as Moses did, to lead his people to safety if the need be. It is time that we accept this oneness with our God within and start practicing and demonstrating these gifts that we have, because they will be much needed, I believe, in these days to come.
So that's a wonderful, eloquent way of finishing up and summarizing in a very eloquent way the gifts that we will be given if we're working on our ascension. And I'm going to read this message, and then we're going to, you know, follow up with any other comments that you may have. We come to you today to speak of change. The earth is changing her mantle and crust, and plates are shifting. Oil and its effects are indeed ruining your planet Earth at this time. With whom do I speak? We are the collective of ancient and ascended ones, sometimes referred to as the creator gods, the Elohim. We are the guardians of Earth, these angels and higher, who work with the divine creator in cosmic center. We come to warn those who hear you on your show to learn to tune in to Holy Mother Earth, to know where safe places will be in the coming year. Marcia, I'm not sure I'm very good at that. Advise me and my audience to know how to do this. Now I would like our audience to listen and take a deep breath and do a little meditation with me as I read this part of the message. Center, breathe, call upon God and your personal I Am presence. Ask and receive our presence and love. Cast out doubt and begin a journal. Breathe an in-breath of love. Exhale, negative thoughts. Cleanse inside and be ready to receive. Okay, so that's a little part of the meditation that you can do. It's very simple. Then this is the rest of the message. We will not reveal a location that is too difficult. In the course of time, some locations will be hit and others safe. Store up food and water, or a way to clean water, and your herbs and medicine, enough for one season. Share with those already afflicted by storms. Look to using, alternative energy sources now, and do not wait until the oil runs out. Walk instead of driving, and find meaning in family and friends. Form communities of like minds. We are the Elohim, the Holy Creators, with Divine Creator. We leave you in peace and blessing. Adonai, praise God Almighty. Amen. So, it's very interesting that you mentioned ways to clean water, and they're saying here, store up food, water, or a way to clean water, and have enough of your herbs and medicines for one season around.
And then to walk in faith and do not fear. We have nothing to fear but fear itself, because we will rise above whatever situations come our way. Believe in good. Put the feeling of love into everything you do. And know that a better world awaits us. And be at peace.
That is so uplifting, and I really loved your book, and I want to refer our listening audience again to your website. And this, we were speaking with Carrie Sue Hedelman, and she is available online at www.timelyacceptance.com, and I highly recommend you pick up a copy of her book and read it. I think you'll find it very enriching, and if you're not familiar with working with spirit, her book is a very interesting read, very amusing. She tells so many stories in the book that are so worthwhile, worth reading about, that you will be, I think, a believer in the God within by the time you're finished reading the book. So, anyway,
they're all true, if I might add.
I know they are. I know they are. Carrie, it was a pleasure having you on the Peaceful Planet.
Thank you for having
and
me, Marcia.
I know that you're adding so much to create a peaceful planet through your vibration and your work. Do you also do private readings, I wanted to ask?
You know, I haven't done them in years.
I see.
My life has gone a little different direction in writing and getting the messages out there through my angel messages.
Right. Well, I love your angel messages, and they're very uplifting.
Thank you.
And, you know, you can always send an email to me as well at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com for more information about Carrie, or visit, of course, the show page on BBS. And I think we're just about out of time here, and we started just a little bit late, so we're going to conclude with some very special music that was inspired from George Harrison, and it is written by Bob Murray, and it's called Traveling Through Botswana. So we're going to close out the show. Thank you for listening to us, and please join us again next Saturday at the same time. And many blessings to all. Thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It was wonderful. Truly a pleasure. And blessings to all. See you
next time. Blessings to all.